Hello, Internet. My name is Jonathan Cook.
And I'm Matt Noble.
And this week, we are back at Screen Verdict HQ.
Yes, Jonathan's travel budget has increased, and he can now he's now flying here for half the podcast.
Shout out to you guys for the support.
Yes.
Shout out to Borna for getting married.
Yes, we actually, you're here because your friend and my friend Borna got married on the weekend, and we went down to the wedding and had a great time.
Yeah, big fan of the podcast. We were kind of celebrities. We didn't want to sort of, you know, take away from their ceremony, but drama did ensue.
I'd never met Borna's now wife before, Kate, and she came up to me and said, "Oh, you're Matt. You're from the podcast, right?" So there you go.
Shout out. So we've now got at least two listeners, Borna and Kate.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah. I think one of them would tell me they'd listen to one of the recent ones too, so it's not just from yesteryear.
Well, as well as being in town to celebrate, I'm also in town to discuss season 6 of House of Cards.
The last season of House of Cards.
The final season.
Mm.
So,
was anything missing in the final season?
Yeah, I guess we'll quickly set it up going into season 6, and then we'll do a season 6 review with spoilers.
Yes.
So what I'm about to say now is a season 1 through 5 spoiler.
Yes. Oh, yeah, good. Yeah, just to make sure. Yeah.
Frank's dead.
Oh. That's actually a season 6 spoiler, technically. I was just going to say Frank's not in the show anymore.
Yeah.
It's fine. I don't think that really... Like, he doesn't die on screen. Like, so
We're just going to preface everything with a spoiler, right? Spoiler alert, Kevin Spacey was in the show.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, Kevin Spacey's no longer in the show.
Yeah. And spoiler alert, he's dead, although that is in the trailer for season 6. So again, not really a spoiler, I guess. If it's in the trailer...
Although they are putting a heck of a lot of the story in trailers these days.
I think we talked about that for like 20 minutes at the wedding.
I'm not going to say which film because it ruins the film.
Yeah.
I watched a trailer for a film, then watched the film on the plane. And in the trailer, they had a line, which is literally the final line of the film.
Yeah.
You go, that character's not dead. I saw them say something in the trailer, which hasn't been said yet.
Yes, and... I saw a movie recently, which again, I won't say what it is, but like the trailer goes through the whole narrative of the film. And I thought it sort of stopped at probably what was the halfway point. They spoiled a bit too much of the halfway, but they've hooked me in. This is an intriguing, but no, it actually just cuts out the trailer 2 minutes before the end of the film. So
was
really,
there a giant twist in the last 2 minutes?
I feel like the trailer ends with the giant twist, and then like it's just sort of the wrapping up, and you're expecting there will be another twist after that, but it just sort of ties up from there.
It's just the hobbit saying goodbye at the river.
It was like it was a kid calling the police going, "Help, I've been kidnapped," and you expect, oh, this kidnapper's gonna now bolt with the kid or something, but no, the police should rock up and arrest the kidnapper.
If you took that approach, you would shorten a lot of crime films.
Yeah. So Frank Underwood is dead this season, but so is Kevin Spacey's career, who was a big part of how it's hard. Like, Kevin Spacey was probably, I think you couldn't really criticize me saying this, a big part of the first 5 seasons of House of Cards. Correct.
Yeah, absolutely. I felt like he was the lead when the show started, and then it kind of morphed into a more 50-50 lead co-lead with Robin Wright.
Yeah.
But at the very least, it's they comprise, you know, 70-80% of the show.
Yeah. Now, a lot's been reported on, written about Kevin Spacey, the reasons he had to leave. You're probably sick of hearing about it, or if not, can read a lot of very good articles covering it and things like that.
That's kind of sound, I was like, is this going to go into like a defense?
No.
Now, you may have heard quite a lot on the internet, but...
No. I was going to say, it was, in my opinion, completely without rehashing all the details and stories and stuff, completely untenable to have him still on the show or in any project ever again.
Yes, so they were going to cancel the show entirely, I believe, but Robin Wright thought to have one more season.
Yeah, partly on behalf of all the people who would have lost their jobs for a year. Like, totally. I think, and actually, where they left things at the end of season five was actually, like, it sort of worked out quite well for the House of Cards writers, because Kevin Spacey, and this is, again, a season five spoiler, Kevin Spacey had just stepped down as president. He'd resigned or been impeached or something. They got rid of him somehow. And Robin Wright was meant to pardon him. He's sort of like, oh, I've sabotaged my career and you can then pardon me for all the crimes I've committed. And then she chose not to pardon him at the end of the season. So it was very easy for them. Like, he'd sort of removed himself from the White House and the center of the political world of the show anyway. And even though you could have intended him to come straight back into it at the end of season six, you can easily have him dead or in prison or removed from the show. So a bit of a stroke of luck for House of Cards amongst a pretty horrible situation where it was reported that Kevin Spacey does some horrible things.
Now, something that I liked about House of Cards was the dynamic between them in that I found their relationship interesting in the sense that they didn't really seem to love each other.
Mm.
But they did seem to be working toward a common goal.
Mm.
And I thought that's an interesting dynamic. Like, here's a kind of evil dynamic duo.
Mm.
And then the show kind of shifted to them kind of opposing each other.
Mm.
And I didn't find that as interesting for whatever reason. I didn't feel like them arguing was as interesting as them trying to, you know, undermine everybody else in the show. So I wasn't really excited for a Claire v. Frank season.
Mm.
So when they just got rid of Frank, I thought, not sure what they're going to do, but perhaps could be a good opportunity to do something that I wasn't particularly excited for in the first place.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I think, like, that's interesting. I think I agree with you that the Frank-Claire conflict was not as fun as seeing them work together. I think partly because that was something we hadn't seen done in that way on TV before, where it's usually the couple fight, relationship breaks down. I think it could have been intriguing if, like, it had been done more in a way where when the houses of cards start to fall, they then turn on each other sort of thing. But it seemed like the conflict started before then. It was more in the rise to power that they started breaking down rather than the, you know, the thing where, well, you know, one of us is going to go to jail over this. And then that's when they turn on each other. That could have been interesting.
Yeah, because often these shows, say Breaking Bad, I think Walter White was a great character. I hated Skyler as a character.
Mm.
If Skyler had been just as, you know, crafty and, you know, if she had gotten on board and she was kind of, that her and Walter became like a dynamic duo, I felt like that would have been more interesting. And so that was something that I thought was working in House of Cards.
Yeah, that was good. I think with Skyler, it would have been a bit inauthentic just with her character for that to be what happened. But the great thing
with Frank... Yeah, she's not a Claire Underwood.
Yeah, which is the great thing with Frank and Claire. We're introduced to these characters and they're both in that place already. It's not like, you know...
Didn't take a weird turn.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Cool. So, should we... Were you excited about the last season without space... Without Frank, I'll say more like... Obviously, we weren't excited to see Kevin Spacey again, but...
I like the show. I think that the show somewhat retained its quality. I know some people didn't like some of the newer seasons of House of Cards. I thought seasons 1 through 4 were all pretty good. I didn't love 5, but I thought, you know, yeah, I'm definitely excited for at least one more.
Mm.
If you just said, oh, they just signed on for another 3 seasons, I'd be like, I don't know if this they got 3 seasons worth of material. But I'm like, yeah, I'm down for the final season.
I think I was in a similar... Well, I really didn't like season 5. I thought it was a bad season, to be honest.
But you didn't like season 4.
I think season 4 I thought was okay. I think season 3, the first two are the best. I think the first two was a great
rise to power. I think 3 and 4 a little more than you did.
Yeah, maybe. I think that's probably true. But I didn't hate 3 and 4. Mm-hmm. So I was rambling on. I'm not sure where this series is heading anymore. But there's some good moments, and I'm still enjoying these characters and what they're getting up to. Season 5 I thought was just bad. But actually, I was sort of excited for season 6 because I was sort of like, I'm excited that the show's ending because sometimes series just go on and on and on. Like, you know, you got The Walking Dead where it's just this endless march to nothingness. You're like, well, they've got a chance to wrap things up now. Mm-hmm. And I didn't love the direction the show was going in anyway. So I thought, well, get rid of Frank. They sort of brought him down at the end of last season anyway. Good chance to refresh and just tie up the loose ends and we can really see maybe Claire come undone, and maybe even without him being on screen, Frank come undone a bit further. Maybe all his secrets come out or something like that. So this would be sort of fun. I think you've been watching a show called The House of Cards, and you see this house, this power, house of power built very carefully, all these little intricate things that are connected, carefully being built, but and all the time very fragile. All it needs is one card to get taken away and it all come crumbling down, and you're like, we sort of started this sort of crumbling started last season, and we're now gonna see the house of, this is what we've been waiting for, to see this house of cards come tumbling down.
So what's the risk to the house? In what ways is there a threat to Claire in that house of cards?
I think she's the president, and I would say the big threat or risk for Claire is she could be killed or impeached or put in jail.
And is who's trying to do this?
I think this is the interesting thing about the series the whole way through. There's multiple enemies, right? Like there's the media. So there's the journalists that are trying to expose the truth and bring down corrupt politicians.
The newspaper people are the people that are kind of, I mean, sometimes they show, like, the Talking Heads news clips and stuff, but who's really kind of getting closer to the truth is, I forget his name, but the newspaper.
Tom Hammerschmidt.
Yeah.
So, and there's always someone helping him out and stuff. So there's the media, the journalists are trying to bring him down, and your political opponents, I guess, are also trying to bring you down, the people who want power for themselves. And I probably always thought it'd sort of be a combination of both, probably, that would bring it down. But you were sort of somewhat excited for maybe the journalists to do it, the more admirable people to bring down the corrupt politicians. And particularly since Zoe Barnes was first such a big part of season one, the journalist that was reporting on Frank and got into a relationship with Frank, sort of wanted to see maybe that come full circle. And so she was the press that Frank was using so well in season one, that was the Underwood's undoing at the end.
And on the political side, we had sort of the season where it was kind of them against Conway. This season, it wasn't so much the politicians, but the invisible hand behind the politicians, the Shepherds.
Yes.
What did you think about those characters?
Not interested. Like, have we done the spoiler alert?
We can edit in. We did talk about going to do spoilers.
I don't think we haven't actually given any significant spoilers from season 6 yet anyway.
No.
Like, there's some characters called the Shepherds that I wasn't keen on.
You're like,
and Frank's there was
like
in the truck.
There's farming in this season? I don't know. It's gone.
Yeah. Okay, let's do a spoiler warning now. And then, like, spoiler warning, spoiler alert. Woo, 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 woo. Okay, now I'll tell you what I really think
Frank's
about the Shepherds. Frank's dead. Here are the Shepherds. Look, it's Greg Kinnear and Diane Lane, great actors,
mm-hmm.
came in as these shows. It was in the last season of a show, I'm not particularly interested in new characters.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not wanting to learn about new people and get invested, unless there's some, like, thing like, oh, they were the people behind season one that we've been, these faceless people that have been talked about for a while, and now we're fine. But that wasn't the case of the Shepherds, so... Yeah, and I think it's part. Yeah, I don't know. I don't want a whole storyline about this new family of people that hadn't been involved in earlier seasons.
Yeah, so he supposedly had some deals set up with Frank. Frank get ousted, so those deals are no longer in place. He hopes that Claire will be able to go through with him. She's not interested. So he kind of tries to win her over and then tries to bring her down.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I kind of get it. Makes sense within that sphere to have this, like, powerful billionaire guy. But we already had, like, what was his name? Is it Ray Fisk or something?
Oh, Tusk.
Tusk.
Yeah, Tusk. Just bring Tusk back to play that role.
I think Fisk's from Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So I didn't think, yeah, I didn't think he brought anything entirely new. He was dying. So what?
Yeah.
I didn't see what that added to the story in any way.
And he didn't end up dying anyway. You think, oh, he's going to die, or maybe Claire will kill him and make it look like that it was the illness that killed. No,
yeah, he died just before he could release. He finally got the info he needed, but died before he could share it. Like, no, it was, it didn't add anything.
Yeah. Or she killed him, and then in his will, he's got the information or something, and it's through dying that triggered the release. You know, like, so, I don't know, like...
Look, we're available for hire, is what we're saying.
So, not interested in the Shepherds. They're brother and sister. There's also this kid they've got, like, that I was completely uninterested in.
He just seemed to be a pawn. So later on, like, Claire could be like, I found out something about your boy and manipulate it.
So, yeah, so... Their son was turned out adopted. Well, their brother and sister, I guess they've been raising this kid, right? And it turned out he'd been adopted, which was shock horror because someone had slept with the cleaner or so. Like, and I was expecting a bigger revelation at the end of that, like, oh, Frank was his real father or something like that. But no, it was just, like, just didn't really go anywhere other than Claire sort of used that information a little bit.
I don't think I really understood the relationship between Diane Lane and Robin Wright. I mean, they were, I guess, they were frenemies.
Yeah, they dance in one episode in the kitchen or something. They do a bit of dancing.
That has to be one of the silliest scenes of the year. Like, imagine being a billionaire and a president, friends slash former friends, and the way you niggle at each other is, do you still remember the dance recital from 40 years ago?
Yeah.
And then they both do it. It's like, ha, I guess we'll call that one a tie. And that line of dialogue wasn't actually in the show, but it was that corny.
Yeah.
That they may as well have.
Yeah. You know, being in that situation where you've been in a big beef or argument with a mate, you're like, let's get there, let's dance it out. Let's just...
Yeah, year two, theatre.
Yeah.
Do you remember the words to Missing Dog in the Woods?
Yeah. Let's do it. Let's do it now. Let's stop arguing. Let's do the theatre. Yeah, no, it's ridiculous. So anyway, I didn't get their relationship. I wasn't interested in the Shepherds. I wasn't paying much attention. Like, the whole brother-sister thing, the whole daughter thing. Like, I was very uninterested in this whole storyline. And it did, to be honest, take up quite a large chunk of the season.
The only interesting thing
that
it sort of hinted at, but I didn't follow through on, was, are they going to try and kill her? Because them just being like, ah, we'll bring you down in the media, blah, 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 it seemed a bit weak. But when they had the shot at her limo, which seemed to be more of like a warning shot than an actual assassination attempt, and then the very end, they have that table gathering, which seemed very silly to me. I felt like there was way too many people in this meeting. I'm like, you're planning the assassination of a president, and there are people we have never seen before in this room. Like surely you need to keep a very tight circle when you're planning to assassinate a president.
I was watching Survivor this week, and you couldn't tell four people of your plan who you were voting for without it getting back to that person. Like, assassinating a president, you mean a much tighter circle than a Survivor vote out.
And Doug and the FBI guy are just sitting out the other side of the door.
So it's like
they're not even on your side, and you're just like, they're not going to overhear the plans.
And then they sort of bring him in and sort of allude to Doug what the plan is anyway.
Yeah, maybe we'll see if he's on board.
We know Doug doesn't like Claire. Let's see if he's like... Yeah, so... I did feel like this was a problem maybe across the board this season with House of Cards, is that, that assassination plan, which was very, a million people haphazard. In the room, haphazard, and, like, too many, like, you got people crunching the numbers. They're like, I've had a look at the economy, it'll be fine. Like, we'll take a bit of a hit on the shares or whatever. Like, everyone's like, it's just, Can you imagine? Can you imagine like that? But then also you had Claire. So there was an episode where she had three people killed this season, right?
Yes.
She had Patricia Clarkson. Another great actor. Good actors on this show. Like,
yes.
Patricia Clarkson and Tom Hammerschmidt and someone else. Durant.
The former Secretary of State.
Anyway, those three were all killed, right?
Yes.
And I feel like if it was this easy to have people killed, why haven't more people... Like, why did it take us 10 episodes to kill Peter Russo? Or maybe when you become president it's easier, but why did it take, like, you know, like, all this... Why did Frank have to... Like, did Frank just, like, doing the dirty work himself?
Yeah, so killing a somewhat important character in a show is not necessarily in and of itself dramatic. What makes the character death dramatic is there was a plan. We set it up. You know, this is going to make it look like it was a suicide or was done by somebody else, and we lay the groundwork. We get this person on board. We trick him into doing this. We spin it this way. But it's just...
Yeah.
Just...
And it's a bit out of character with what the show has shown us in the past with what you need to go to in order to kill someone, you know? Like, it usually involves the person getting their hands dirty themselves and then trying to cover it up, not just making a call and going, hey, kill those three people.
I didn't entirely understand why she killed Patricia Clarkson.
I think there needed to be, like, three deaths because it sort of mirrored the maybe the three abortions she'd had. Like, there's sort of, like, some, like, straight, like, symbolism with the threes. Like...
Yeah, the rule of threes.
Yeah. I think that was it. Like, I think they thought, this will be cool. There's a lot... I just vaguely remember, there's a lot of three stuff happening in that episode.
I never understood her motivation. So she kind of came in, she's like the Middle East expert, right? She kind of knows what's going on with like Russia and Syria, Saudi Arabia. That she's like the expert on that region. And she's very tight with the vice president. And you're like, she seems to be good. She seems to be competent. But like, is she really working to help Claire and Frank? Like, you never really knew.
Hmm.
And then she just had her killed. And you're like, what? Wait, yeah. What exactly? I know she wasn't really on your side, but it wasn't like she was threatening to expose your secrets in the same way Hammerschmidt was.
Yeah.
No,
I agree.
I don't know. If I missed something, let us know. Yeah. Facebook.com/screenverdictpodcast. Feel free to explain the show to us.
Yeah. No, that'd be appreciated. So...
Same with Mark. I didn't really understand his motivations either.
The vice president.
Yeah, he just kind of seemed to go where the money was. Like, I think this guy can win. I want to be part of the winning team. I'll help campaign for him. Oh, you know what? He lost. They're offering me a job because they know I'm pretty good. Sure, I'll come work for the Underwoods now.
Yeah.
He's like, as vice president, what do you think his goals were? Because he was kind of sneaking off with Diane Lane. He was romantically interested in her. Seemed like he kind of liked Patricia Clarkson as well. Everyone kept on saying, oh, you like strong women.
Yeah.
Got three to choose from.
Now,
two of them seem semi-interesting.
Yeah.
But where does he go beyond there?
He's an interesting character too, isn't he? Because he was running Conway's campaign, right? Like, so this is the guy who went against the Underwoods for the president. And now he's the vice president of Claire Underwood.
It seems weird that they would pick him up because they're like, not only were you on the other team, but we beat you.
Yeah.
Like, why? We don't need your help. We beat you.
Yeah. It's sort of weird to, like, just when you think about it in real life terms, like, I know the political world we live in America is very bizarre at the moment. And, you know, like, I know everyone goes on the talk shows and say, oh, we thought, like, House of Cards was a fantasy. And now it's, like, less crazy than the real world. But I mean, like, I think it would be quite crazy in today's political world if, like, Donald Trump appointed, like, the guy who was running, like, Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders' campaign to be his vice president.
I think... Like, I agree with that assessment. I guess...
Could you see a Steve Schmidt be, like, maybe the vice presidential candidate for, like, Elizabeth Warren or someone like that? Like, is that a more, like, Trump... Like, I'm taking Trump out of it as some former Republican campaign manager.
I think the point was, at least was with Mark's character, that he didn't have a political, strong political alignment.
Yeah.
So perhaps if we were to pick some real life examples, maybe those people do or don't. Whereas this guy, I think he's just about getting paid and winning. That was my interpretation.
I think that is also a fair point with House of Cards is, and this is for the whole series, like, ideology seems, like, it seems all about power, right? Like, the characters, you don't really know what anyone's political convictions are. It's all just about either, well, I guess Frank sets it up early on. It's sort of, some people chase power, some people chase buildings. And it just seems like that makes everything move, which I think is true probably to how Washington works. But it sort of maybe threw aside that people still have to make strong ideological identities in the political world.
They reference political things because it's a political show, but for the most part, the characters are not pursuing, you know, healthcare or guns. It's like power and power. It's just like this guy's trying to win and this guy's trying to win.
Yeah, and that sellout's trying to make money, and that's why he's not going to win the power struggle. Like, so Mark, and I think that's like the disappointing thing with Mark, because we didn't really know where he was heading. Like, was he someone who was trying to become president? It seemed like he was a bit reluctant to take power, like he didn't want to make a move against the president. Then he wanted to assassinate her because he thought it was in the best interest of the country. But did he really, like, he seemed very reluctant to actually pull the trigger on.
I feel like these shows need to take note of the fact that ambiguous motives are only interesting and intriguing and entertaining and watchable if there's eventually a reveal. That character then just, if the show just ends or the character just leaves, you think, what was the point of that guy?
Yeah,
he never did anything.
Yeah, where they got the reveal, you're like,
he did it this way. Yeah. He was really doing this, but he made us think this.
I like that. So yeah, so there you go. Good tip.
There was no such moment.
No. I don't know what we've touched on, haven't so far, but I know we.
Claire's pregnant.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Supposedly Frank's baby. Did they ever prove that?
It was so hard to follow the timeline of this season. And yeah, again, that was something else where you were expecting a reveal at some point. But no, I guess it was just Frank's baby.
Like,
that
was never. They weren't together, but perhaps they had, you know, samples frozen or this and that. Yeah,
well, apparently they slept together the night he got killed.
Nah, no way.
No, they did. That was, I think, part of the show.
Really?
Yeah, was it? I could be wrong.
No, they hated each other.
Yeah, but like, he went to Doug's, he saw Doug, then he went to Claire's, they slept together, and then he died that night. I'm pretty sure. It was very hard to follow, like, because information wasn't all given us to it, like, at the same time, but I'm pretty sure that's what the story was.
I don't have anything to point, I don't have proof. But I don't, that doesn't make sense to me. I think they absolutely could not stand each other at that point.
I think we can agree that whatever happened with the pregnancy doesn't make sense. Whatever the explanation is, it didn't make sense.
Yeah, I don't know. What was the point of that? I guess to be like, I can be president and birth a baby.
Yeah, like something that would maybe affect her polling and maybe add an extra wrinkle to the assassination.
This might
attempt.
Make me look weak, but I'm going to show I'm even stronger.
I think this is also a good point about, like, writing a show, is maybe don't add a complication for the sake of a complication. You've also got to bring that to something as well. Like, if there isn't a payoff from that complication, you just think, well, why did we deal with that? What did that? How did that improve the story or the character or the end game of the season?
The most that it affected any storyline at all was when they're in the room coming up with the assassination plan, and Mark's like, "Phew, there is one problem. She's pregnant." And then Diane Lane's like, "Nah, we're good." That was it. That was like, then maybe this will look even worse if we assassinate her when she's pregnant. We'll be fine. It's what we're bad people, Mark. Don't be bringing up moral quandaries in the bad people room. This is the meeting of the bad guys to do the bad thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true. Yeah, you often don't have, like, the supervillains all meeting and, like, so they're planning about how they can rob the bank. And the guy goes, perhaps that up. He goes, like, so are we going to make sure we, like, claim the tax appropriately on this?
It's like, all right, just remember... Yes, I'm on board with robbing the bank, but we should wipe our shoes on the way
in. Yeah. There's a doormat for a reason.
Look, look, we're not here to, like, ruin the janitor's day.
Yeah. I like, that's a better one than what I have. Okay. So, yeah.
Didn't get that.
So, should we just now talk about the whole Doug Clare thing at the end of the series?
I think that's the biggest narrative of the season.
It definitely ends. It's a bit of a smaller thing earlier on, and it builds and builds and builds, and that's it.
So Doug as a character, he loved Frank. He really didn't seem to have too many independent desires, his own sort of plots, etc. He just appreciated Frank for giving him a chance, getting him sober.
Yeah.
I guess he believed in him as a leader.
Yes.
And just wanted to help him fulfill his plans. Mm. Now Frank's gone. What does Doug do? Doesn't really have any plans to try and fulfill. He wants to protect Frank's legacy. He doesn't. Mm-hmm. He wants him to get pardoned.
Yeah.
He doesn't want certain things to come out.
He had taken the fall for the murder of Zoe Barnes.
Yes. He is... what is he? He's in like a... He seems to be in some sort of like mental health place because...
Yeah. I guess that's where...
You'd have to be crazy... If you didn't do these things, you'd have to be crazy to say that you did.
Yeah.
But he gets his way out.
Yeah.
That's... I don't know. Maybe I'm just dumb, but I felt like even the best parts of the season I only half understood. Mm. Like, when he rings the... Like, was it the Attorney General or something? And kind of blackmails her into, like, getting out.
Yeah.
I was like, this is kind of clever. This is House of Cards-esque.
Yeah.
This is the kind of thing I like. It's like, you're blackmailing. You've tricked them. You've made her answer the phone. He's like, oh, how's it going to look when we look up the phone transcripts and see we've been talking? And she's like, oh, yeah, that is going to look bad. It's like, okay, I'm digging this. I'm not sure I quite get it. But all right, things are moving. Doug's out of the place.
Yeah.
Where does Doug go from there? Once he gets out, what's his plan?
He grows a beard and he digs up the marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Rachel Brosnahan, and
he's like, I didn't know what a hit she would be at the time. I killed my cash cow.
Yeah. Killed the 8-time Emmy Award-winning star.
I guess. Doug seems to start feeling guilty about things. I mean, he's always been guilty.
I think, especially over the Rachel thing.
Rachel hurt him the most, I think.
He's a guilt-plagued man, I think, Doug.
Yeah. I think he did feel bad about bumping that guy off the kidney list or whatever.
Yeah, he felt... Yeah, because then he started sleeping with his wife.
If there's any way to rectify it. Like, if that dude's, you know, watching from the afterlife, it's like, yes, I'm sorry. I did bump you from the list. You're dead because of me, so that Frank could get the, and I'm banging your wife. Like, what? How are you atoning?
Yeah, I'd like to make it clear, if you ever get me killed, I do not give room for you to sleep with my wife. That will not make it any better. And this is on recording. This is...
Like, I'll be trying to, like, console. I'll be like, look, it's what Matt would have wanted. And she's like, huh. The podcast did say it's not what he would have wanted.
Gonna make sure this podcast is in my will and testament. You'll be getting played.
Yeah, at Matt's funeral, there's no hymns. There's just an audio recording of, like, Jono, don't bang my wife.
Okay, very good. So
this discussion reflects rather poorly on me. Why is this such a plausible concern of yours, Matt?
I don't know.
Am I the Doug of Screen Verdict?
So we've got anyway, Doug does some stuff. I lost track of what Doug is. He's in a beard, he's digging up Rachel, he's making calls, he's meeting with the guys about the assassination, he's meeting with Claire about getting Frank a pardon, he's doing all his willy. Anyway. Yeah, at least in the Oval Office. at the end of the series. I don't know if you want to touch on anything before that point. I can't remember anything, to be honest.
Yeah, it seems like he wants to help the journalists get some of the truth, but not anything that's going to reflect badly on Frank.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't mind if it's about me or about Claire, but he just doesn't want Frank's name to be tarnished.
Yes, he goes into the Oval Office at one point, he gets a microchip or something, a SD card from the desk drawer that he'd engraved his name in. In the Oval Office. I think that was a cool moment that he'd like done that. Like, I think it's the kind of thing I wish I'd think to do if I was in the Oval Office on a company. Like, yeah, I'll just put my initials in this desk. Like, that's really cool. Like, anyway, he went to have a look at it. There's an SD card. He took it, and it had Frank's diary. Right? His.
Yeah, what? He made like, the recordings taped himself to like an audio diary.
Yeah. Maybe working on a audiobook or a podcast series, maybe.
Frank Underwood story. My life outside the White House.
Yeah.
Available on Stitcher Radio.
Yeah. So it was good. He got that and then he shed some of it. As you say,
I feel like that was another thing that they teased but then didn't really. Like, it implied that it would be something that Claire wouldn't want to get out. But was there any bombshell, like, in the audio recordings?
It's hard to know. We didn't really hear them all, so I think it would have been cool if, and this could have been the case because I haven't gone back and reviewed the tapes and things, but it would have been cool if all the diary entries were the things Frank had said to us over the course of the series. Like, if, like, him talking to us were his diary entries.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense. What did you think about... So, I think last... So, it's we... For the first few seasons, we got direct-to-camera dialogue from Frank. Then, I think, was it last season, the first season, that they introduced it to Claire? Claire started doing it?
Yeah.
And then this season, we got a duck.
Yeah.
Did you like the Doug?
I actually did think that was a cool thing to do in the final season, but sort of, and this is becoming a bit of a repeating theme, it didn't really go anywhere. Like, what was the purpose that served other than just like,
Doug can do it too.
Like, there should have been some, yeah, and I think it's sort of the same thing with Claire. Like, she didn't really take us anywhere with it. And I think it's also weird, like, House of Cards opened with a big monologue by Frank talking to camera. I think it would have been good if maybe Doug or Claire had ended the series with a similar sort of thing, perhaps. To wrap it up, maybe touch your... Yeah, I don't know.
No, that maybe takes us to the ending.
Yes.
So, I get it. Sort of at this point, Doug and Claire are the heart of the show.
Yeah.
They're the ones... They're no shepherds.
Yeah.
Right? They've been here since...
Season 1. Yeah. Frank's two closest people at the beginning of the series, maybe other than Freddy.
Miss Freddy and his ribs. So Doug and Claire...
Did Freddy die?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Because going... If he didn't... Real oversight not getting him back for the final episode. Anyway.
Doug comes to the White House. And at this point, I still don't really know what both characters want. I'm like, I don't know what might happen here. I don't know what I am supposed to expect to happen here. And I don't know what I'm rooting for to happen here. I just know this a confrontation of some sort is about to go down.
Yeah.
And it seemed like Claire pushed Doug to the point of violence.
Yeah.
What do you think it was that triggered Doug so much? Like, do you think he went there with that intent of trying to harm Claire? Or do you think it was something she said in the moment that brought it out?
I think it's something she said in the moment.
That's the way it came across, but I still couldn't pick exactly what it
was. Now, whether that was her intent going into the meeting to, I'm going to get Doug to say something to harm me so that I don't know.
Because, I mean, are you backing yourself in a fight with Doug?
Guess not. Like, I don't know. Doug's very unpredictable. Like, he goes from strong to weak so quickly, it's hard to tell what mental state he's going to be in for a fight.
Because if I'm clear, I think I could probably outsmart Doug. I could manipulate Doug. Yep. I could get the emotional response that I want out of Doug. But if that emotional response is trying to stab me with a letter opener, with no Secret Service in the room or anything, don't you think that Doug's probably going to come out on top?
Yeah, which is why I think Doug didn't go into the room thinking he was going to do it. I think, like, he sort of started doing it and then was crippled by a bit of, like, guilt or indecision or, like, I think if he'd really wanted to finish it right there she and he knew had that he motive. Go through with yeah, it. Maybe yeah. that was it, yeah.
So anyway.
Well, Claire could.
Yeah.
Claire could go through with it.
Yeah. She kills him, he dies on the floor, and then she says, no more pain. Calls back to the first episode of season one, where Frank kills the dog and says there's two types of pain. Pain that gets you somewhere and pain that's pointless and I've got no need for the second or something. And so, and I guess that was meant to bring it the series full circle. We also learn in that final scene that it was Doug who killed Frank.
Yeah.
So that he had poisoned Frank because he thought Frank was going to kill Claire or something and wanted to, I don't know, he thought Frank was going to ruin Frank's legacy, so he killed Frank so he couldn't ruin his own legacy sort of thing, which didn't make complete sense to me. Like, that was less a, whoa, this is a cool reveal that all makes sense now to a, What was that, Doug?
Definitely don't think Claire and Frank slept together that night. If Frank was possibly going there to kill Claire, but had been drugged by Doug in order for that to not happen, it seems pretty impressive to sneak in a little,
I think little that's action. What, I think that's what happened. I think that's what happened.
I don't think so, but we'll see. Anyone with any knitting experience that can untangle this mess.
Yes.
No more pain for Doug. The ultimate guilt, I guess. He's been feeling guilty for seasons. Mm-hmm. This is probably the worst guilt of all, having to kill his hero to prevent him from ruining his own legacy. And Claire, what does Claire get out of it? I mean, I guess it stops Doug meddling or whatever, but... You know, she could have easily just had him killed other ways, the way she got rid of Durant and Hammerschmidt.
Yeah, that's why I don't get it much at all. And I think, like, things were coming to a head, like, so there were two things also that were sort of... There was the assassination attempt, which was meant to be going down in the White House around that time. I don't know if Doug was a part of that or not.
I don't think... Was that it? I thought he didn't agree to be a part of it.
Yeah, that's what I think. But it got a bit confusing. They sort of, as Doug's approaching the Oval, the music's building up. You see shots of other people all waiting for something to happen and things. So I don't know. It seemed like the assassination. And there was also then Claire had raised the threat of nuclear war.
Yeah.
As well. And to save her political career, there was a good chance she was, after that meeting, going to go and start a nuclear war.
Yeah, I felt like a lot of that Russia stuff was unresolved.
Mm.
I think, yeah, a lot of what she was doing seemed to be like, I'm prepared to go overboard to show strength. You know, I'm not afraid of fear and violence and all of those things.
Mm.
Which, yeah, okay, but what's your end game?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Because, the season wrapped up Claire's involvement with Doug, but it didn't seem to wrap up any of Claire's storylines.
No. Like, you have no idea what's going to happen to Claire the next scene. Like, does she just explain, oh, self-defense, I killed Doug, let's start the nuclear war, and, like, she becomes an autocratic sort of war president? Or do people go...
She goes, now that I've dealt with that... I can stop being evil and I can just do the good stuff that made me want to get into politics in the first place. And I only do all these bad things so I can have the opportunity to do the right thing once I was here.
And empower women to take up roles in government. Or do the police, like, does she, they go, look, you know, we see there's a mark on your neck and stuff, but this is a bad look. There's a dead guy in the Oval Office and you were the only other person in the room. That politically has ended your career.
Yeah, I think she'd be all right, probably.
Because
A, you could probably keep it from getting public if you wanted to, or B, if you had to explain it. People knew that Doug didn't like Claire. And Doug had been to a mental health place. So if she just said it was in self-defense, I reckon she'd get away with it.
Probably. But we don't know, really. Like, yeah, but I guess that's probably
right. We'll be like, damn, she is badass. She stabbed a dude with a letter opener.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, a lot of unanswered questions. And that was the end of the season.
Mm.
That was it.
Oh, she's... Doug also suggests that she should call the baby Francis with an E.
In honor of Francis McDormand?
Probably. He was a big three billboards. yeah, Doug kills Frank. Well, I'm definitely reading that Doug definitely killed Frank, according to this recap that I'm reading.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm finding it hard to, because I guess that the revelation about them sleeping together wasn't in that same episode, so they're not covering that element in the... Yeah.
I think the only time I remember that being said was Claire saying it, but yeah. I thought Claire's obviously lying when she said it.
Yeah. But anyway. Who knows? Final season... sorry, the one good thing I'll say about that final scene is having someone, like, murdered on the Oval Office carpet is sort of a cool idea, right, for a show.
Yeah.
Like you said, oh, we've got this series and it's going to all build to this point where someone's getting murdered in cold blood on the Oval Office carpet. It's quite visual. That's quite interesting. That's quite epic. Yeah. Are we touched on everything? Is that House of Cards Season 6?
I think so. Are you ready to give a verdict?
Yep.
House of Cards, Season 6. I'm trying to think. Let's start with some positives. I like the acting. I thought you had got a good cast.
Robin Wright, Michael Kelly, Michael Kelly's great. Patricia Clarkson's great. Yeah, all the actors are quite good.
So... Most of the character issues I had were not due to the acting, definitely due to the writing. I guess you said the ending was somewhat dramatic. I mean, these are the two most important characters left in the show, and you have one of them kill the other. It's kind of hard to top that as an ending. It's just the lead up to that ending to make that make sense, be a surprise or. You know, just the way that it was developed didn't feel as rewarding as perhaps that could have been. I thought a lot of the direct-to-camera stuff didn't work this season. I thought it didn't reveal much. I thought it was rather cheesy. I thought the frenemies relationship with Diane Lane was rather cheesy. It tried to touch on sort of some social commentary with sort of... women in power, and you know, she fires the whole cabinet and hires an entirely female cabinet. And I just thought it was all a bit ham-fisted. It was a bit on the nose. It's, you know, yeah, great, more women in politics, that's awesome, but just being like firing everybody, all women now, I don't know. Do I buy this? Do I think there's something Claire would really do? Maybe. I'm not sure. It just didn't connect. Nothing really clicked for me on that front. And just too many things were sort of raised and then dropped or teased and then didn't go anywhere or just plain didn't make sense. And I know you've lost a main character, and I know I think they had only 8 episodes this season, so maybe they you know condensed or rushed some things, but I really just didn't know what to root for, what to get excited about, and ultimately was left rather unsatisfied. So I'm going to give Season 6 of House of Cards a 4 out of 10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this season was a mess. It was an absolute mess. Characters I didn't care about, weaving in and out of storylines that were uninteresting. you had a real great opportunity. Now, before I get into that, I do understand Kevin Spacey leaving or getting fired threw off probably what they were planning. I think they used some of the scripts that already had written for Kevin Spacey. I think people like Greg Kinnear were already signed on the cast before the Kevin Spacey thing happened. So I understand they but I do think they were set up quite well to end it. You've got this great opportunity of 8 episodes to wrap up this story, a series that was really at the forefront of long-form storytelling in a streaming, binging world.
One of the first big hits for Netflix.
Yeah, right? Like arguably the first big hit of an original series. So they've really paid the way. And each episode was called, so chapter one, chapter two, chapter. It's like you're reading a novel. Like it really like was overt about this is a story about a rise to power and assumed fall from that power at some point. And I really thought this was a great episode. Why not bring all this stuff back from season one? Have Frank and Claire's sins completely be exposed, and we just see, you know, some really cool twists happen. And it was just this meandering mess of nothingness and unimportance and things getting raised that it doesn't follow through on, whether that's a twist or a death. There were no payoffs. It was all just like rambling and, yeah, it was just bad. It was a bad season of a show with a horrible ending that didn't tie things up. And it was a bad season of House of Cards, and it's even worse when you consider it's the last season of House of Cards because it did not do what a final season should do in a show, particularly a show like this. You know, you've got some shows like The West Wing and Mad Men where it's more about like a – or Boston Legal, where it's more about – it's not about the story as much as about that particular workplace and you want to see people have a nice ending or you want to see things tied up a bit. But it's not like you need to see the mystery or the premise that was set up have a huge payoff at the end. So it was horrible. Like, it was really bad. And I think it was, like, to be honest, close to the Dexter final season.
I was just about to say it went full Dexter.
Yeah, it went pretty close to Dexter. I can give it a 3 out of 10.
3 out of 10.
How would you have ended it? Let's say you're the writer, you're the head writer, you're given 8 episodes, you know, you got Craig Kinnear and Diane Lane signed on, you can pretty much have them do whatever you want, though. You can just, you know, do whatever. How do you end the series?
What would I have done? Given that Kevin Spacey's out.
Kevin's out, yeah. Robin's going to be the lead.
I think... It's interesting because Claire has done enough bad things to the point where I want her to go down, but it's possible that she could still turn it around, like, you know, have me rooting for the bad guy in a way. Like if I thought, ooh, that's really good, that's a clever plan. In the fantasy land of a TV show, I'm prepared to root for the bad guy because this plan is so good that I want to see it like properly executed. I kind of feel like I either want to see her like succeed and just go like full like Kingpin, like Scarface Kingpin, and and just be like she won the game, she outplayed everybody.
Nuclear war. She blows up Russia. Like, it just ends with, like, I've killed Doug. I'm nuking Russia.
So I think I would have tossed up either going that way, just all-out win for Claire, or she gets taken down, pays for her sins, and I'd probably say, what's the most interesting way for her to be taken down? I don't know if that's as interesting. I mean, is Doug helping the journalist bring her down? Is that really... that's satisfying?
Yeah, like that's like an average ending, but not a top level end. You know, like I don't think that's bad. Like it resolves things probably better than they did and things, but it, yeah. I don't know. I think that you could see succeed. I think I would have liked to see it just all fall apart. And there was such a big focus on Frank this season anyway. They clearly weren't afraid of bringing up his name and things like that. I think it should have been... that throughout the course of the season, all these things that Frank did all of a sudden getting connected to Frank. Like, Frank's being, like, you know, he killed Zoe Barnes, he killed Paul Russo, he did these things, these horrible things. He did the election fraud, all these things, whatever it comes up. Because
some of those things Frank and Claire were in on together, yes. And some of them were just Frank.
And I think the question then becomes, can Claire get away with this too?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like, all of a sudden, because Frank's legacy is just getting through the ringer. And maybe Doug is going, look, Frank's legacy's gone. Can't do anything about that, but I can bring Claire down with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's looking for the proof that Claire was in on some of those things. And I think you need some revelation at the end that there was some character or something from season one that brings it all back.
You think, just as you think that Claire's dodged every bullet,
yeah.
Doug goes to the toilet, picks up a book about poetry.
Yeah, CU is in the, is in the book. I don't know. Just
R.I.P. Russo.
Yeah,
science. CU.
Like, you know, Freddie gave his nephew something. I don't know. Something comes out of the woodwork, and it's like, we've got you.
Yeah.
You know, it ends with maybe Claire getting arrested or something like that. I think that could be a cool end. And then her sitting in the back of the police car as it drives from the White House, right, with her talking to the camera about sort of the Underwood's quest for power and where it's led them, and maybe how she doesn't regret anything they did because no one can ever take away that I was the first woman president or something like that. I don't know. I think something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's really only up from what they did.
Yeah, yeah. The bar set so low, you can really throw
it. We've already come up with three better endings.
I think Kathy would have been, it would have been better to have her a bit more, like, I think.
Yeah, because, like, she was a fairly important character.
It was the whole Frank getting her the Secretary of State position that was one of the first big moves he did, so I think it would have been cool if she'd helped undo them in some more substantial way. Like, they sort of had her escape, like, and fake her own death. Only to have her just killed an episode later anyway. I feel like that, how cool would that been if, like, all of a sudden, like, this chick blogger girl who seems to be, like, the real voice of the people has this blog, like, we've got an exclusive call with Cappy Durant! She's... And maybe she throws all this stuff out there to the media and then she gets killed and people, like, dismiss it. But there's something in there. I don't know. I just think there are a lot of good stuff from season one they could have called back to. And I actually don't think it was that hard to finish this series.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's rich with things that you could draw on. Like Kathy, like Russo.
Mm-hmm.
Like Zoe Barnes.
Like, Russo didn't even get mentioned in the final season. That was such a big part of the first. But anyway. Yeah.
Well, there you go. Let us know what you thought of season six, whether you agree, whether you disagree, how you would have ended the show. Facebook.com/Screen Verdict Podcast.
I haven't heard a good thing. Of all the stuff I've read, I've not seen a positive review of this. Yeah, but you might be the first, and please let us know. We love different perspectives and ideas at Screen Verdict.
Yeah.
Sorry.
This is better than no ending. And those people got their job. They got to keep their jobs.
Yeah.
I'm glad you tried. Didn't enjoy it, but I'm glad you tried.
Yeah. So, yeah, it is nice. Like, you know, like, yeah. No, I agree. So.
Well, housekeeping.
Housekeeping. I hear you have some celebrity sighting stories.
I do like to share a couple of celebrity sightings on the podcast. With best part about living in LA, celebrity sightings.
Yeah.
I want you to rate these celebrity sightings because I feel like these are fairly good.
Is it the celebrities or the stories that I'm rating?
The celebrities.
Okay.
None of the stories are too crazy. Because
doing Line of Coke with, like, Zach Galifianakis seems like a more epic story than just seeing Kim Kardashian at the dry cleaner.
Yeah. Should I just make him up? I was playing paintball with Jonah Hill.
Yeah, see, that's a pretty good story.
no, so okay. I went to a show, friend's show,
mm-hmm.
Patrick Daly. Everybody check out his show.
A friend's show?
Yeah.
Okay.
New Kid on the Block. Not a show.
A friend yeah, of yours?
It's a live theatre reboot of NBC's sitcom Friends.
Yeah.
No, it's a friend's show.
Could we be any more retro? Continue.
Afterwards, went to celebrate the show, went to a bar, had to get some drink, get some food. At that bar, we saw Quentin Tarantino.
Huge. Yeah, big guy. Big name. Sorry.
Pretty tall, too.
Tall. He's a big guy. I wouldn't know. I haven't seen him ever before.
So I thought that was pretty big. If you're in LA, you're entertained. That's pretty up there.
Mm.
I don't know if you can get...
What was he doing at the bar? What was like, give me some Quinton juice, give me some scoop, Jono. What does he get up to when he's at a bar?
Well, he was with his fiance, who is...
Is she famous too? Is she...
I'm not sure.
Okay. Anyway, he's with his fiance. Okay.
She's somewhat age appropriate.
Okay.
I think, what is he, like 55? She's like 39 or something. Okay. It's like...
That's Hollywood appropriate. Not too scandalous. Hollywood appropriate, not Kevin Spacey. Appropriate,
and they were getting food.
Food,
and they got like a corner, a corner booth.
I love the corner booth
because it's because they wanted a little bit of privacy, right? They don't want to just be out in the middle of the restaurant, but you know they weren't too cool as in we need like a private room. They could hang with the normies.
Was it crowded? Like, do you think they pulled some strings to get the corner booth? Have they reserved it, or was it available?
I saw that I think it was organized on the spot.
Okay.
Because they seemed to talk to someone, and I think the person found them
at
the corner. So it's not like...
Yeah. Okay. That's fine. Do you see what they ordered or anything? Any?
I think I saw a pizza. They have good pizza.
Okay. So some pizza. Oh, great. So Quentin Tarantino, that's the kind of thing...
Just total
that's
all stuff.
That's the kind of thing I would do at a bar. Yeah. I'd take the corner booth and order a pizza too.
Or tours. They're just like us.
Yeah.
So that's the story. Not a great story, but it's just like, sighting. Yeah. Good sighting. Second one, similar scenario.
Okay.
This time, not eating at the place. I've just gone to pick up.
Jonathan's pretty much at the bar every night in LA.
Yeah.
He's at the bar every night looking at, wait, I'm buried the lead a bit. You're picking up. What? What?
Jonathan's out again. Look, no like great artist was like,
so wait, are you going to pick up there? Like, what, like...
Food.
Things going like, oh, okay. Whenever I'm bar looking to pick up, I'm like, oh, this is, like, horrible for Bonnie.
Take out.
Oh, take out. Who are you looking
at? What a way to find out on the podcast.
Yeah.
Bonnie's like, you went to what?
Yeah, no, well, I'm sure you...
pick up food.
Okay, yeah.
Not going to mention the name because we're not getting paid sponsorship money.
Yeah.
If you'd like to be named, let's talk.
Yeah.
Screenverdict@gmail.com.
Yeah.
It was a Screen Voting Podcast at gmo.com.
I don't know. Anyway.
We do a lot of business by email.
Yeah, I want to hear the celebrities.
This was at a place that we go to like once a week.
Oh, man. I've probably been there with you.
It's quite possible.
Okay.
Gone to pick up my food. This time, in the middle of the restaurant. No corner table. You can't miss them. If you're going to pick up food from the counter, you were walking past.
So I'm guessing this is a lower celebrity who sort of like, if I was in the middle, people are gonna like, they want the whispers, they want the stuff. Quentin Tarantino, he can get that by just sitting in a corner booth. They're not taking any chances. They want to be noticed and get to be the vigilante.
Well, you tell me. I want you to compare the level of celebrity.
Yeah. I'm expecting lower at the moment. We're just where they've chosen to sit.
Who do I walk past? Judd Apatow and Leslie Mann.
Oh. Whoa! You got sort of double there. Part of me thinks, Quentin Tarantino is definitely a more iconic director and definitely more famous person in terms of contributions to the art form and cinema, right?
Yeah, if you're talking from a film student or academy type perspective, yes.
Yeah, like if we said, name the 10 best directors of the past sort of 20 years. A lot of people are putting Quentin Tarantino on their list. I imagine more so than are putting Judd Apatow on their list.
Mm-hmm. I'd agree with that.
But Judd Apatow is very, like, he's almost like a guy who's like, done a lot of franchises and things like that. Like, he's a big name in comedy, and I'd be tempted to say Judd Apatow might be the bigger name. I feel like the photo of Quentin Tarantino would get more traction on my Facebook news feed, though. I think more likes, more comments, more people impressed. And I'd have a lot of friends who probably wouldn't know what Judd Apatow looked like.
Yeah, who do you think's more recognisable, not on their work, but on their out and about? What percentage of people, are more people going to recognise Tarantino or Apatow?
I think Tarantino. I think partly because he's more of a interesting character. Like, you remember, when you've seen an interview with Quentin Tarantino, you remember that guy. Also, he does, I think, just look a bit more distinctive. Like, Judd Apatow looks like a pretty normal guy with a beard. So I would say I was leaning Judd Apatow actually at the beginning, but I'm now talking myself into Quentin. What did you think?
Well, I'd never seen Tarantino before, and because he's kind of like a bit of an eccentric character, it was kind of like, you know, seeing the jaguar in the wild.
Yeah.
Whereas it was Apatow, big name, you know, directed a bunch of stuff, now produces everything, huge name in comedy. He is a little bit more everyman-ish.
Yeah.
I have actually seen him once before at a comedy show, but this was, you know, unplanned, unexpected. No name on the billboard.
Yeah.
So I'd maybe lean towards Tarantino as well.
So also, I'm trying to think of a TV comparison. It's almost like, you know, Chuck Lorre, like, compared to, like, Mitchell Hurwitz or something like that. Like, the creator of Arrested Development compared to the creator of 2 and a Half Men, The Big Bang Theory, like, all those sorts of things, where one is clearly the more respected name or, you know, like, more famous person in a sense, but the other one is responsible for, like, a comedy empire. Like, interesting. There was a third one, wasn't there?
Mm-mm.
Oh, no.
I've got an old one.
Oh, yeah, throw it out.
This was actually in Santa Barbara.
Oh, yeah.
Which is about like an hour or so north of Los Angeles.
Mm.
And this was with Bonnie and her family. We weren't staying here. Like, not that fancy. But we went out to eat the Four Seasons.
Ooh, yeah.
Here we go. And I saw, with their family, well, it's a little kiddie, so it was a nice, wholesome, family, candid moment, Natalie Portman.
Oh, she's great. Of all of them, that's the one I'd want to meet.
That's the number one?
Yeah. Love Natalie Portman.
Yeah. She is tiny.
Really?
Really tiny. If Tarantino is big, Portman, tiny.
Yeah.
Teeny tiny.
Maybe have been in the same room then.
Just stepped over and noticed.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. She's such a good actress. And she seems really nice in interviews and stuff. She seems like a really cool person.
She wasn't beating her kids or anything, so you can keep on thinking that for now. Yeah.
What was she doing at the Four Seasons? Did she order a meal with them or something? Like,
yeah, she set a table, family.
Did you see what she ordered? Or...
No.
Oh.
She's with her husband. He seems very... That's probably going to get me in trouble. I was going to say he seems very French.
Oh. I don't know what I was expecting, but it wasn't. Like, it was worse than whatever you get in French.
Yeah. I oversold the outrage.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, oh, French, I think's okay. I had a little bit of housekeeping that I said I'd tell you about. I know we're running over, so I'll just be very quick. A couple of podcasts ago, you were in Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
We were rushing off to a bowls game. There was a rattling on my car wheel, right, or the back of my car. Then you stayed and hung with Bass. I had to get back to church, so I drove home, and I got in a car accident on the way back.
Disaster.
Yeah, it was bad. And I told you, I'd tell you what happened on the podcast, because I'll get your reaction. So this is what happened. The wheel came off my car while I was driving it.
Like the entire wheel?
Yeah, the entire wheel axle came off the car while I was driving it.
Wow. Was it scary? What happened? Did you veer? Well,
I'd heard the rattling on our way down. We'd actually pulled over. I checked it out. Like, things were looking okay.
Get on the wave. Clearly we're great McGinnis.
Yeah. We've got a good eye for these things.
Yeah. Our verdict of seems fine was actually at loose wheel.
Yeah. So as we're driving back, it was getting worse. Like, so I was driving pretty slowly at that point. And then sort of I went at a light and it sort of started rattling a lot worse. And I was sort of like, okay, go pretty slowly here. Then I felt the crash when the wheel came off it, just pulled it into the far left-hand lane, put the hazard lights on. It was pretty scary, but like...
So were you just dragging one corner of the car?
I guess so, but like only
for... Did the other three kind of keep it up just enough?
I think it ended up probably just enough that the whole car wasn't dragging, but it was probably... By the time I stopped, it was only like about 5 meters or something, so it wasn't like a huge amount of drag.
Did you get the wheel? Did you go find it?
It was in a bit of a dangerous area, so the like about 10 minutes later this giant tow truck rocked up like from I don't know the government. Like we were like okay, we're gonna get you out of here, buddy, like. So and then he said, do you want us to get the wheel for you, because it'll roll to the other side of the road. I said, oh yeah, that'd be cool. So A guy before they got there had pulled over to see if I need any help. Nice guy, right? Yeah. Like, most people would just drive past. This guy
most pulled people over. Were like, move it, asshole.
Yeah. He pulled over and said, oh, do you need any help? I said, oh, I've called the NRMA with the tow truck, so we should be all good. Think maybe something happened with the bumper or whatever. And he's like, the whole wheel fell off, man.
Oh, yeah. I'll just take a minute or two to put back on.
Yeah.
I'll drive home. I'll be on my way.
Yeah. So it all turned out okay. It was fine. I was safe. No one knows. Since I could tell something was about to happen, I was pretty ready for anything to go wrong.
Which do you think was the worst car crash? Your wheel falling off or season 6 of House of Cards?
Season 6 of House of Cards. There was and actually, it turned out it was a faulty wheel axle or something like that. So the was just covered by warranty. So it didn't cost me a cent and no one got injured or hurt. So
insurance covered it. I'm not a suspect.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
Everyone's a winner.
I was just glad it wasn't my fault. Like, because I always, like, I'm not the best driver in the world. I bet I was meant to do something. I bet I've screwed this up somehow.
You've had your handbrake on for 2.5 years.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, something like that. So there's a picture of it.
Oh, that doesn't look good.
Yeah.
That doesn't look drivable.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I only got, like, 2 meters once that came off, so. Anyway. We talk cars, we talk celebrities, we talk weddings, and we've talked House of Cards. What a fun podcast.
There you go. Thanks for listening. Let us know if there's anything else you're interested in hearing. We'll try and catch it. Award season's coming up, so I'm sure there'll be lots of movies we'll be checking out.
Yeah.
Any shows, let us know. Facebook.com/ScreenVerdict. Is it verdict or podcast?
Whatever. Facebook.com/ScreenVerdictPodcast, I think. ScreenVerdict.com/... No, what is it?
Facebook.com/ScreenVerdictPodcast.
That is the actual address to our Facebook page. And in finding that, we just made a discovery that might merit its own podcast later in the future. We're a bit concerned about something now. So stay tuned for that one.
Yeah, it's Screen Verdict drama like never before.
Yeah. We're so reeling.
Stay tuned. To the home, the original home of Screen Verdict content. We'll see you soon.
Bye.